You're with us for The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Now it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Mary Kate McCoy with a story about composting at UW-Milwaukee.
UW-Milwaukee students have been helping turn food waste into nutrient-rich soil. A new program called Panther Pails is connecting those food scraps to the composting operations at the Sandberg Gardens Hoop House. Jessica Gatzo brings you the story.
Pineapple tops, orange peels, and onion skins lay scattered in mounds of wood chips. We're inside the Sandberg Gardens Hoop House. It resembles a greenhouse, but the steel structure covered in translucent plastic is more of a tunnel. A large bin outside holds black pails with yellow covers, UWM's school colors. They're filled with coffee grounds, vegetable scraps, and eggshells waiting to become soil nutrients.
I just wish more people knew that it existed. No one knows that the Hoop House really exists, let alone the Panther Peel program.
That's Nina Hartwig from UWM's Office of Sustainability. She manages gardening and compost operations, including one called Panther Pails. This program gives students and staff an opportunity to participate in composting without needing to make their own.
The reason we started the Panther Pails is because when the pandemic hit, we weren't getting any food scraps at all. So we had to kind of find a way to generate some. So we kind of just turned to our UWM community to see if they could help us out. And they are more than excited about the program. And we actually have 70 people signed up so far since launching last year in November. And we've collected, I think, like 350 gallons of food waste from them.
It's actually a lot of fun, you know. You get to get a little dirty sometimes and, you know, turn the piles, and it's really satisfying seeing your work actually become something.
Ian Gallagher is a senior studying biology and conservation and environmental science. He's one of two student workers at the Hoop House. Food scraps are excellent nitrogen sources, but a compost pile also needs carbon. Hartwig says they supply that element by adding equal amounts of wood chips as they do food waste. Gallagher pointed out how the wood chips become rounded and softer after going through composting. It's similar to how water breaks down the sharp edges of rocks, creating smooth stones over time. Workers turn the piles every 2 weeks. This adds air and generates heat. The overturned concoction of plant matter looks charred as if a fire had been burning. But Hartwig says that ash-like appearance is actually millions of microorganisms.
They're the real people who do the job.
Most of the heat is at the top of the pile, you know, because the heat rises, obviously. And then as it kind of ages a little bit and starts to cool down a little bit, the center holds most of the heat. The top and the sides really cool down. So it's interesting to see what the pile's doing. It feels like a living and breathing organism.
The air inside the Hoop House feels at least a few degrees warmer than outside. This doesn't seem surprising once you realize how much heat an active compost pile generates. Another student employee stuck a specialized composting thermometer into one of the piles. The needle moved right before our eyes, reaching a green-colored zone. That green area represents the ideal composting range of between 90 and 130 degrees Fahrenheit.
I think composting is really important, especially just to get the nutrients back into the soil. Sending food waste off to landfill and having it never break down and having none of the nutrients ever go back into our soil systems is a real issue, actually. So being able to help the soil get its nutrients back and to grow great produce is, I think, really important.
One of the final steps in the composting process involves sifting a pile through a sieve to remove the wood chips.
And then we'll reuse the wood chips and put them in new piles, because I already have all the good microorganisms all over them, so it kind of helps jumpstart the other one that we are making. So,
the entire process takes 6 to 7 months before soil can be used on campus.
Composting at home is actually a lot easier than you think, especially if you have a resource. You'd be surprised at the amount that you get rid of and how you don't have to take your trash out as often if you're composting.
UW-Milwaukee student Jessica Gatzo brought us that story on campus composting. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. Find more Wisconsin Life at wisconsinlife.org. I'm Mary Kate McCoy.
And now to Wisconsin's Poet Laureate, Dasha Kelly Hamilton, in the second year of her term contributing to the growth of poetry here in Wisconsin. She delivers the keynote address at the Young Writers Conference for Middle and High School Students that gets underway today in Sturgeon Bay. How does poetry move you? Would you consider yourself a young poet? What do you want to ask our poet laureate? 800-642-1234. Dasha Kelly Hamilton has been a public poet for over 20 years, author of 2 novels, 3 poetry collections, 4 spoken word albums, and a collection of personal vignettes. Dasha, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning.
Good morning. So now you're into year 2 of your term, Dasha 2.0. How has it been?
2.0.
How has it been going as poet laureate? What have you encountered?
Like everything else that's exciting, it's gone fast. It's gone really quickly. And a lot of it was you spend the time building. I compared my first, definitely the first 6-7 months as when you're ready to paint your room, you have to clear all the furniture and then cover it up and then put the blue tape in the corners. And back in the day you had to do primer and then you can paint. So it was doing all the priming and now being able to paint. So that's why it's felt like it's gone especially fast, but I've been excited to build these, I'm going to call them these portals for people to fall into poetry, for people who didn't know that they were already poets. Yes, you over there sipping your coffee, you're a poet too. For people who didn't know that they were already poets and the closet poets, it's a place for people to one, be inspired by unexpected language, and then for that inspiration to turn into a poem. And then we do an exchange where people are getting poems from other neighbors across the state. So that took a lot of building and coordinating, and that's been exciting. It's also part of my poet life, not just writing, but using the writing to build and create community.
Another thing you're priming for, so to speak, you were awarded a grant to create a Milwaukee Youth Poet Laureate program. And so you're building that program to launch, I think, next fall. Is that right?
Yes, absolutely. We're actually planning to do the pilot for this fall. And the National Youth Poet Laureate Network, I've been involved and connected with the organizers and the organization since their inception in our national network, because we also have participated in national competitions from the Adult Poetry Slams to the Youth Brave New Voices teams. There's a network of coaches and performers and competitors that we've stayed connected. It's a whole, like any industry, you have your network of folks who do things outside of that one event. And the Youth Poet Laureate nationally has continued to grow to the point, and we just didn't have the capacity. I didn't have the time. We didn't have the resources. And we've been talking about bringing this to the city for many years. So that all the stars aligned, I was awarded a National Laureate Fellowship. There are poets laureate from across the country applied for this fellowship based on the work that they're doing in their community. And I'm one of 22 from across the country who receive one of these awards. And so with this initiative, I've been able to bond together with an incredible coalition of other organizations to make this an institutional template where it's a class that will be taught throughout the school system. There'll be a community engagement part for young people to get prepared to submit their poems. And then we'll have a youth poet laureate, and they'll a person who'll spend their junior or senior year being the voice of a city. And just that sentence alone, especially celebrating today, this Young Writers Conference, reminding not just young people, but impressing on the not so young people that we can make space for young people's voices. One of the things that will be a distinction, every city, every community that does a Youth Poet Laureate initiative. And incidentally, this is the same network that gave the world Amanda Gorman. A lot of those young people have experience in spoken word, in slams, in delivering their pieces as part of to an audience. And they're also looking for young people who are already committed to social justice, to climate change, to inclusion and diversity, to celebrating nature. And in my experience, in the 20 years I've been working, I can't believe that math is real, but in the 20 plus years that I've been working with young people, going into schools, creating programs and initiatives that create space for them to speak, most of them want to be that person. But in most cases, they also have algebra. They also have their part-time job at Culver's. They also are trying to figure out why their dad doesn't get them, why their sister keeps taking their stuff. They're just living their lives. And I remember a young person, we're standing next to each other and we're watching one of her teammates do this incredible piece about police violence. And she says, you know, I really want to be able to do that. And I don't always understand what's happening in the news, what they're seeing on their headlines, what they're listening to adult conversations about the issues of the day. Mm-hmm. And even as a grown up, I often can feel like I don't have a handle on what's happening in the news. What's going on in the news of the day? But we often will project to young people that we've got it all figured out. Mm. And that just makes a broader distance from them feeling ready to step into their citizenship, their leadership, their selfship. Mm-hmm. So because I've witnessed this, the Youth Poet Laureate Initiative is going to give them the space to become critical thinkers, to become griots for their community, to examine these dialogues and write about them and learn to talk about them so that we can put out into the world a new generation of citizens who don't bicker every time we disagree, who have the capacity to hear opinions and perspectives and lifestyles that are different from their own and talk about them, even disagree with them without devolving into, well, you know what our world looks like right now. Mm-hmm. So it's really investing in what's possible for all of us by reminding young people that their voice matters. We've got to give them some space to give them some space to shape it out.
Their voice matters. Yes. And so when you get this captive audience like today with the Young Writers Conference that is going in Door County, when you have middle and high schoolers together who are really passionate about writing and expressing themselves, how do you build on that type of momentum? What do you do?
Honestly, I try to upset everything they've been taught because I know that it works, especially when you're working with young people who are committed to these words on the page. Mm. And again, in going to the classrooms, when I first started doing this work, it was clear to me that I'm not here for the writers. So if I'm in this classroom, there's probably two students in here that are committed to words and writing. Mm. But every student in here needs and wants to know that what they think matters, that they have the capacity to imagine beyond what's right now. So all of my sessions have always been playing with the process of writing, the process of creating, the importance of being surprised by the next task as well as the next idea that pops into their head. Mm. And then we're going to spend some time making sense of it. So when I have a chance to really talk to a group of new writers, it's reminding them that yes, your skill set is important. You need to know what to do with a semicolon. You want to understand how to make enjambment work for you. You want to have some tools in your kit to make a scene more vivid. So all of those are issues of skill. You can learn those things. Hmm. We've all also read an amazing bit of text that was devoid of soul, that was executed perfectly, period. I was remember teaching at, I taught a semester at Mount Mary University, and this is upper level course. There are graduate students involved, and some of these grad students are full on grown-ups with management jobs, you know, during the day. And we had this experience where most of that class, by the time we got through it, they discussed how they'd never been asked their opinion. Hmm. Now, of course, they'd been asked to write papers about an opinion, but they were all committed to, you know, my first day in the class saying, I'm not here for you to show me how well you can student. Hmm. Clearly you can student. That's why you made it to your junior, senior, graduate level in college. So this is about I want to know how you think and then how you communicate how you think. Mm. And going to working with young people, starting now, for them to understand the craft, the skills of writing a perfect paper, or a wonderful story that's going to get an A, or that's going to have no errors in it, is different from being able to pour yourself into a piece of writing that means something to you, that you are really communicating what's inside of you and not putting together a paper that's going to get high marks, which is a completely different endeavor than saying what you mean. Mm. So one of the things I get to do is I share pieces of spoken word. So one, they're able to hear that poetry can feel different. Mm-hmm. I know that was the experience I had with poetry. And then secondly, what I'm going to say to them as part of my keynote is these words work for you. And because of the mechanics of writing, and many of us are still recovering from those red slashes from our fifth grade paper.
Break free.
I mean, you still need to follow some rules of language, but use those rules of language to shape what's in you. Yeah. And the opposite often happens. We try to fit what's in us inside the rules of language. And then what happens on the paper is something that looks good, feels neat, but isn't entirely what they need.
Lacks that, and that's soul.
Writers of any age.
Wisconsin Poet Laureate Dasha Kelly Hamilton helping us to keep poetry close to us, understand why it matters. Do you have a particular poem or a poet you'd like to, others to know about? Who are they? How did you find them? Have you been part of a poetry slam? Is there an upcoming slam that you can't wait for? Still time, 800-642-1234. Back in a minute with Dasha Kelly Hamilton here on the Ideas Network. We're in conversation with Wisconsin Poet Laureate. Dasha Kelly Hamilton is here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. In the second year of her term, we're catching up with her on the literary events, the poetry initiatives, all the priming she's been a part of. What's on your mind about poetry in these difficult times? Still time to talk with our state-appointed poet, 800-642-1234. Dasha Kelly Hamilton with us for about 7 more minutes. You have this project called Alignment, and I'm wondering if you can explain how it works and what you're doing with it.
Absolutely. So Alignment is offering people one line of poetry as a prompt to imagine a story, imagine a memory, and certainly those things can turn into poems. And worked with a developer to create a website portal, alignment.org, spelled the same way, alignment. And within that, you would upload a poem that you wrote to prompt A, for example, and then you would receive a poem from someone else in the state who wrote to the same prompt. Hmm. And what I'm particularly excited about this initiative, it creates this unexpected conversation that's kind of not a conversation, right? So it's not a pen pal experience where you sign on and now you're committed to trade poems with this person, this stranger forever. But once you submit that poem, you will receive a poem from a different person at the end of each month for a few months. And what it gives you a space to do, of course, if you've ever been in a room and you have one of those icebreaker prompts and everyone in the room gives a different answer. Mm-hmm. What does this make you think of? And of course, everyone's going to have a different answer because everyone's a whole different human life experience. Similarly, you'll get this poem and like, huh, they saw a sunset in that prompt. And I absolutely wrote about cooking spaghetti. Huh. And the second huh that I hope will happen is we've designed it so that incarcerated writers can also participate in this experience. So I've been using this euphemism, Little Miss Margaret in Rhinelander is going to be involved in this because she loves poetry. Mm-hmm. Little Miss Margaret in Rhinelander may think twice because the idea of, oh no, there are prisoners that are participating. But she's going to participate anyway because Little Miss Margaret is interested in being published in an anthology with me. So all of the favorite pieces from this experience will be publishing them next year. Mm. And then ultimately when Little Miss Margaret gets that poem, and she's not going to know who it's from. So when people receive the pieces, you receive a name and you receive a city. Mm-hmm. Now that person from Racine could be from Racine proper, or that poem from Racine could be from Racine Correctional Institution. And Little Miss Margaret we'll have an internal conversation on whether or not that matters. And across the board, we all get to be reminded that there are human beings in those buildings. Hmm. And we can have a whole different discussion about how they're there, why some of them are still there when they shouldn't be, and whether the building should stand at all. That's another topic for another day. But just the beginning part of remembering that there are human beings in those buildings who write poems and have a favorite candy, and have a relative they don't want to hear from, and they were all 7 once. Mm. And remembering that part, hopefully just having that lodged in all of us for those conversations that need to happen and will happen, we can be in a different space to do those. But focusing on poems, we get to trade with our full writing community.
And this is at alignment.org, is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct.
Let's take a call. Dwayne in Weston. Hi, Dwayne. What's on your mind?
Oh, yeah, this is an interesting topic. I never really ever wrote a poem or any. I read the little inspirational ones that come in like fundraising type mailers. But I always thought like poetry to me with, you know, the songs that I like from Gordon Lightfoot, Carole King, James Taylor, and what kind of poems they would have been if they would have been went down that path. To me, those songs are poetry to me, and, you know.
Song lyrics as poetry. Yes. Dwayne, thank you. Dasha, what do you make of that? How songs, they're a type of poetry to Dwayne.
Absolutely. Dwayne, thank you for that comment, because Carole King is absolutely a poet. And many of the songwriters that we celebrate, they are they're storytellers and they are poets. And I was the same way, Dwayne. I didn't appreciate the process of a poem. I didn't appreciate a poem on the page. They were introduced to me, and I think a lot of people, as puzzles. So as a young person, I wasn't satisfied that the teacher was telling me what this poem actually meant, because what you said and what these words say, none of this is going together for me. Mm-hmm. So it was a really frustrating process of falling into a poem, but falling into the shorthand of a song, lyric, the way those, you could have a song that tells an entire relationship arc in 3 minutes, right? With all this powerful language. And also going to the big thing for me personally was going to open mics. A friend took me to an open mic, and hearing a person that I'm looking at tell a story that clearly means something to them, even if I didn't understand all the details, the language brought out the emotion. I tapped into something. I was able to realize that poetry, you are reading it / feeling it from all these different inputs, not just what the logical words say on the page.
Oh, Dasha, thank you so much for joining us. Dasha Kelly Hamilton is Wisconsin's Poet Laureate. And stay close as we explore how some cities are using supervised drug use sites as a way to prevent overdosing. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.